Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
Another week, another episode of Moody on the Mic. Another Group 1 Saturday too. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as always, Peter Moody, the resident Rain Man. No Mytho just yet. We do imagine that he will join us at some point this episode. Moody, he had one go around in the first that you trained that got beaten at a pretty short price. So as he cracked the sads, completely thrown the toys out the kite, do we think he'll come on?
He's probably not talking to me, but I've got no doubt in the world he will come on, Rog, because his best bets got up for 2 weeks in a row. So he's going to be patting himself on the shoulder and patting himself on the head. I got $1.70 or $1.80 pop beat for him in the first at Sandown. I think it had every chance, but that's beside the point. So he's probably a little bit sad on me, but he's had a big week, Mytho. But listen, what terrific racing. Blue Diamond week. Blue Diamond coming up on Saturday at Caulfield. 3 Group 1s. Good racing last weekend. And it's really starting to hot up Sydney and Melbourne, isn't it?
It certainly is. And not only do we have Group 1 racing, the Moody Coleman stable has got one of the top picks in big races. In fact, a lot of runners going around at Caulfield on Saturday, Moods. And Rayman, are you happy enough with Moods' appearance this week to suggest that Tanisa has a big chance in the Diamond? It doesn't look as crisp as he usually does in a Group 1 Saturday, but I wish our wind's going around.
No, he certainly doesn't. I'd like to think the Moods might be having a shave before the end of the week, maybe get the head in the old shiner ball. Because, no, based on if we're just using this metric, and we've had plenty of success for it in the past, I think if we're just using this metric, Moods won't be winning a Group 1 this weekend. But there's still a bit of time to go till Saturday. Hopefully he does have a good hard look in the mirror and sorts himself out, because we'd love to see a Group 1 Blue Diamond with the Moody Coleman name next to it.
I reckon I will have a little polish up. Just having a look. It's getting a bit rough. Getting the hair and my head starting to get in my eyes and everything. So I reckon I will have a bit of a polish up for you before the weekend, Rain Man, and give ourselves every chance to win a Blue Diamond and Oakley plate.
That's what we like to hear. Let's do the double.
Why not? Why not? Although I'd take a maiden at Bairnsdale at the moment, aside from the Group 1.
Speaking of cleaning up the farm was your task last week, Moods. A, how is it going? And B, I don't know how you managed to tweet 20 stubbies in that you did when I opened up X, or formerly known as Twitter, on Sunday morning. I saw this 20 stubbies in midnight Saturday night after a day on the chainsaw. Just saw a replay of the great Bo Rogue at Sandown. MRC committee and members, please don't lose these memories. Save and return to the great days. Best track in the land. Make it work. A, not only were you able to sweep 20 stubbies in, B, it made sense and was a very valid point. I, if I was 20 stubbies in, would be in emergency, if not dead already. And after 5 stubbies, generally put the phone away.
And the thing I was most proudest of, Rog, was my containment of my colourful language that I usually use at such hours. So I was extremely proud and gave myself a pat on the back next morning when I did read it myself. But a big day on Saturday, or actually Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a lot of trees down, a lot of fences down on the farm. So aside from track work hours, the rest of the daylight hours were taken up cleaning up around the farm, and just about got it done and waiting for a few contractors to come in and do a bit of fencing and everything. But more importantly, all livestock and all people were safe. Just the structural damage, the house and the sheds were good, but plenty of fencing to be done over the next few weeks when time and contractors do allow. But plenty of people less fortunate than myself, but we lived to fight another day. I think we went 5 days without power. That was a pain in the ass.
I woke up on Sunday morning with multiple text messages saying, "Have you seen Moods' tweet?" And obviously that sent a shiver up my spine, thinking, "What's he done this time?" It's basically a race of people. They know it stresses me out, so they really take great delight in stressing me out about Moods' tweet. But I opened up, I thought, bang on what you said, Rog. First off, no swearing was probably the biggest upset of the lot. Secondly, I thought it was very well written. And thirdly, I think he makes an extremely valid point. So, no, I went back to bed quite happy after that one. So I appreciated that move.
I don't have to rely on text messages from other people anymore. I actually have an alert whenever Moods tweets. I only have alerts set for 2 people. Moods is one of them. Just in case there's any fight that needs to put it out, or a text message that needs to be sent to say, "Peter, maybe delete that one just to save some skin. But no, it was very, very good. And you know what else was good about the weekend was that we managed to find some winners last week too, Moods. You and Mitho gave a very good push for Riff Rocket in the CS Hayes. Talked me into it. A race I wasn't keen on betting in. And, geez, he won handily. He looks a very nice horse, the VRC Derby winner of last year. We were bullish on Fangirl. She was sensational winning the Apollo. Rayman, just FYI, Cascadian came in last, if you're wondering if he'd finished yet.
It was a great last, though, Rog. Watch the replay. It was a great last. It was one of the best lasts we've seen.
Does it pay for last? I know my fantasy football.
Cascadian will be winning a race this time, Roger. Watch out.
Ladbrokes might have put a money back offer on if you backed the horse that ran last. bit like the Melbourne Cup sweeps.
Yes, no credit to any of us for finding Imperatrice, who, of course, she is just an out and out superstar. The way she won the Lightning Gutsy as it comes. Samana, my best, won the Triskay. But yes, Mitho, we'll let him take the victory lap. He got Mullane up for the Moody on the Mic listeners. 20 minutes before the jump was at a very nice price. And then I think the faithful of the podcast stepped in and went, Wooshka. I'd imagine it might have been a little bit bittersweet for you, Peter, to see Mullane getting home now gelded. You wanted him back. If he lost his balls, he has. And Mitho just didn't let you keep him. And speaking of, could he have timed it any better? The man jumps on the podcast just as we're talking about Mullane's victory. And Mitho, it got out to 350 or so on Best Toad. And I see you must have opened the shoulders, or maybe your brother-in-law did.
I'm not sure who had a bet, but there's a few boys in the Rosemont Alliance that don't mind a bash every now and then. So Golem was pretty confident. Another one beautifully pre-trained by Peter Moody, and Golem the beneficiary. So he's the best pre-trainer in town. Well, certainly in Queensland, anyway. How many others you set up there, Moods, and have had a win?
Nah, it was good to see him win, and let's hope he fulfills his potential, because, like we said last week, 12 months prior, we're running him in the Lightning Stakes. 12 months down the track, as the first start as a gelding, he wins a benchmark 78, but we're looking to build on that. So here's Pat's Moody, boys, the new addition to the Moody family. He's replaced Bob. We lost poor old Bob last year. Pat's joined the team this week, so he's going to help us find a few winners as well.
For those wondering, obviously this is an audio medium. For those wondering, we are talking about a dog. Moods is holding up the new dog, the new addition to the Moody family. As he stated, welcome, Patch. Welcome to the podcast. You still got a long way to go to be the fifth member here. That we did lose a champion this week. Very Elegant passed away whilst giving birth to her foal. Unfortunately, the foal also didn't make it. And I suppose rather than sort of talk about our favourite Very Elegant moments, I just want to keep it reasonably short and sharp and just ask Moods, I've wondered this for a while. When you lose a horse that you sort of have so much to do with and you're so close to, I know Typhoon Tracy was one that sprung to mind for you, is it like losing a member of your family, or is it a little bit removed from that? Or, you know, is it the champions you generally get more attached to?
Oh, listen, no doubt it hits home. It's a bit like losing a dog or something like that. Let's be realistic. It's not losing a member of the family. But, I was quite taken back when I was informed very early one morning sitting on the front veranda at Caulfield when Typhoon Tracy had exactly the same thing happen to her. Or not exactly the same thing, that's right, but she caused a lot of internal damage and bled out in about 30 seconds, and I was just grateful that she didn't suffer. And we see this in all walks of life, but Very Elegant, what a super mare, a great mare. Cost me a Melbourne Cup. I wish they had not accepted that day, because Incentivise ran second, and my name could have been in the history books. But she was an absolute superstar all the way from New Zealand through Darren Weir's yard, through Chris Waller's yard. What was she, a 10 or 11-time Group 1 winner? I think the Melbourne Cup might have been her 10th from memory, and a hell of a mare. And listen, very sad for all connected. She would have touched a lot of people along the way, both sides of the Tasman. And then more importantly, and people don't realise that the staff at the farm where she actually would have been, they would have become very attached to her, even though it only been a very short time, as Anthony would attest to, on the farm down there at Rosemont, birthing mares and that. These boys and girls, or men and women, they get quite attached, and they do feel it. And when these things happen. So a very sad time, and the fact that she's a high-profile horse probably adds to that, but probably not more so than a lot of mares on the different farms all over the length and breadth of the world, you know.
It is amazing, Moods. Just to sort of put some context around that, and it doesn't matter if it's Very Elegant who's won 11 Group One races, or a mare that battled to win a Bush Maiden. But the human connection with the horse, and we can see why thoroughbreds are used as therapy around the world for people with mental health issues and anxiety issues, because they do get very attached to them, and it's beautiful to see, you know, from a farm owner, to see your staff get so attached to horses that it doesn't matter if they've won 11 Group Ones or a maiden, they're special animals, and I'm sure they're even more special when they've won those 11 Group Ones. And just as a footnote, Rain Man, you might I heard Chris Waller on Melbourne Radio this week talking about Very Elegant, and one of the points he made was that of those 11 Group One races, they were all different, bar for I reckon it was the Winx Stakes that she won twice. Other than that, they were a spread of Group One races, which you don't often see. When horses get to that level, they've usually won a couple of Cox Plates and a couple of Maccabi Divas, and they follow the same roundabout each year. But she trod a different path. She was a quirky mare that did things her own way, and she's a legend. A couple of weeks' time, I think the Very Elegant Stakes will be run there at Randwick, and we can honour her again.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Mitho. Her versatility was amazing, really. She won Group One races over 1,400 metres, and then she won a Melbourne Cup over 3,200 metres in arguably the best performance of her career. I still remember, obviously, we were all on Incentivise, cheering Incentivise that day, but the way that she just cruised into that race in the Melbourne Cup, about 600 from home, and I thought, well, we're in big trouble here. And she was super, super impressive. Probably the highest rated Melbourne Cup winner we've had in recent years. So, no, she was a champion mare. And, the Very Elegant Stakes will be held in a couple of weeks. And Chris Waller will probably win it with Fangirl. And James McDonald will likely be in the saddle, which I think will be a fitting result.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker. See where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
There's three Group Ones on in Melbourne this weekend. There's some good racing on in Sydney too. We're just going to touch on one of them. Currently a heavy eight at Rose Hill. Race seven is the Group Two Millie Fox Stakes. Rayman, take us through the market because we do have a fairly short price favourite.
Yeah, the Inform Lady Laguna, a very fit horse, is the favourite for the Millie Fox Stakes. She's $2.15, last start winner of the Southern Cross Stakes. Chris Waller's got a very strong hand, as he so often does in this race. He's got Sue Gotcha, who is the second favourite at $5. He's also got Vienna Princess, who's $9.50. And he's also got one at double figures, Madame Pomeray, who's a 1,000 guineas winner, who is the horse that does appeal to me from a betting standpoint. I do think Lady Laguna is a deserving favourite, but she is definitely getting a bit on the short side at $2.15. The fitness edge is key, but I do think there are horses in this race that are better horses than Lady Laguna. The question is whether Lady Laguna's fitness edge will prove to be the difference. But Madame Pomeray, only two wins from 15 race starts, but she's run some really big races, and she does have a couple of impressive first up performances as well. So she's drawn ideally from barrier five with Nash Rabula in the saddle. I think she will take benefit from this run, but I do think that on her day, she's right up there with Sue Gotcha as the best horse in this race. So I want to have something small on Madame Pomeray, $12 to win, $3.10 to place.
This is a tough race, but for me, Vienna Princess, speaking of the Chris Waller runners, is the second top-rated runner, just gets in with 54 kilos. And obviously, Lady Laguna is the top-rated runner, is in with, I think, 55.5. But, you know, track trip, she ticks boxes. She won the Silver Eagle two starts back when she beat Pericles, then ran an honourable six and beaten two lengths in the Golden Eagle. That's the last run of last prep. So first up, it's, yeah, obviously fitness is on the side of Lady Laguna, but I think at $9.50 with Ladbrokes, Vienna Princess represents really good each-way value. And as you touched on, Rayman, Lady Laguna is fit, is an excellent horse, but she's 215. I wouldn't want to be touching that. So I'm going to have an HOA play on Vienna Princess, who after two trials will have, you know, obviously some fitness there too. So Vienna Princess for me.
Well, I'm thinking of just sticking with the strength and the form stable all autumn, to be perfectly honest. And that's Gay and Adrian. Thrown in the deep end a bit, how good you are, but I see the market's found her at $11. Coming off her first up performance, ran fourth in a benchmark 78. You're thinking, well, what are you doing tipping it in a group race? But it was on a wet track, and all this horse's form has been on a good track. So I'm going to go the progressive horse out of the Inform On Fire stable, How Good You Are, number 11, each way.
Just a bit of a trick here, punters, on the weekend. It's a heavy eight at the moment, Rose Hill, so I'm not sure of the forecast and how far the rain affected track, so it probably lends itself to horses that are a bit rock hard and fit. Lady Laguna fits that bill, but she's not overly adept on wet conditions. She has some wet track form, so certainly something to bear in mind, but then it's hard to find something away from her that actually loves soft ground. You know, the reliable man filly maybe from the Joe Pride stable, Lavate, I'm not 100% sure. It's twice a winner on the soft, but has failed five times on the heavy. Yeah, listen, I'm just struggling to find the right horse here and how the track conditions will play out. I think Zugotcha is the best horse in the race, and if the track doesn't prove to a good surface, I think she's the one to beat. But I just keep that variable there. If the track does remain wet, maybe look for something rock hard and fit as your fancy.
Let's move down to Group 1 racing, and that is in Melbourne. Three Group 1s. We're going to go in race book order here, so we're going to kick off with the Futurity Stakes. Raymond, and take us through the market and give us your tip, but I've got a rough idea of where you might go.
Yeah, no surprises here, Rog. We've got a very short price favourite in this race. Mr. Brightside is $1.50 on the back of his first up win in the CF4 Stakes. Attrition on the second line of betting at $8.50. Nugget is first up for Kieran Maher, $10. Bit of early money for Pericles, who is $11. But I'm not tipping against Mr. Brightside anymore. He's a horse that I continually find a way to tip against, and he continually finds a way to win. He's just a winner. Caulfield 1400 metres suits him perfectly. He's undefeated at this track and distance, 4 from 4. I think he's going to be extremely tough to beat. I'm happy to play a little same race multi here, just because I think there's some value to be found here. I do like Mr. Brightside to win. I like Attrition to run top three, the Turak Handicap winner, who I think is an underrated horse. I'm not saying he can beat Mr. Brightside, but I think he can run well. I think Buffalo River will be in the race for a long way as well. I like him to run top four. So you have a little same race multi, Mr. Brightside to win, Attrition to run top three, Buffalo River to run top four. That'll get you $7.50 with Ladbrokes.
You pop Brightside and he wins. He's the reverse Cascadian for you, Rayman. Weight for age, 1,400 metres. Caulfield, less than a banner field for a Group 1. Mr. Brightside, every single second of every single day for me. I will not hear of him getting beaten here. I think $1.50, take the money and run.
Yeah, this will be short and sharp from me. As long as Moods has raced at Sandown's been running one, I think it has. I think the half-brother to Hanseatic might have got the prize and beaten Moods' horse there, but just another plug for a Rosemont Stallion. They keep coming thick and fast, but yeah, Mr. Brightside wins in a jog trot here.
Listen, very, very hard to tip against Mr. Brightside, isn't he? As Rog touched on, weight for age 1400 at Caulfield. The only thing is, as a trainer, I would just throw a little curveball out there with him and Buffalo River. That was pretty brutal in the Ore Stakes the other day. Mr. Brightside can probably still be slightly off his top, I reckon, and win it. But, you know, it was a pretty brutal race the way it was run and won. And Brightside and Buffalo River both had extremely tough runs. But, listen, try and find one to beat them. Is a horse like Attrition, has he got the quality to be mixing it with them? Listen, I don't know. He's probably the only curveball for me, but you can't tip against Mr. Brightside. But just be mindful, taking $1.50 a horse off that hard first-up run and backing it up 14 days later. I know he's done it a hell of a lot of times before, but has he done it off quite such a hard run first-up? Just be mindful of that.
Let's move on to the Blue Diamond Stakes. It is the feature race in essence of the day. Certainly it is known as Blue Diamond Stakes Day. Rain Man, it's a high quality race by the look of it this year. You'd like to think we'll get some very good horses coming out of this moving forward. What's the market telling us at the moment?
Yeah, I love the Blue Diamond Stakes, Roger. I think you're absolutely right. It is a banner edition of the race in 2024. The favourite is Coleman from the Matt Laurie stable. Really good piece on Ladbroke's social media channels about Coleman and Matt Laurie at the moment as well. Lady of Camelot for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Botts on the second line of betting at $4.80. Team Snowden have got Bodyguard, $5.50. High Octane, who was very unlucky last start at $7. And then our own Peter Moody has an easer there at $12. I think this is a really high-quality edition of the Blue Diamond Stakes. Coleman has done nothing wrong so far, has been very, very impressive. But there's been one trainer, or one stable, I should say, that has been dominating the two-year-old races in Sydney, and now they come to Melbourne with Lady of Camelot. That is, of course, the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Botyard, who have got basically, in the Golden Slipper market, they've got five of the top 10. I think they can win the Blue Diamond here with Lady of Camelot, who was a bit unlucky for on debut in the Gimcrack Stakes and then last start in the Whitten Stakes, won by 3 lengths in an absolute canter. Went straight to the front in typical Gay Waterhouse fashion and proved very tough to run down. It'll go forward with Adam Hieronymus in the stable. And I just think Lady of Camelot still does have some improvement left in it. And I want to be with the informed stable. So Lady of Camelot on top for me. I think Stay Focused is an interesting horse. $17 to win, $4.80 the place with Ladbrokes. It was very well backed in the Blue Diamond prelude last start and raced a little bit greenly, still finished a good second. Has drawn barrier 15, so we'll need a little bit of luck, but I think it's one to include in your multiples. And then Hayasugi for Clint McDonald won the Phillies prelude that day as well. Two from two this preparation. Jamie Carr in the saddle. I think it's been a little bit underrated by the market. It's $19 to win, $5 to play. So Lady of Camelot on top for me. I'll be throwing Stay Focused and Hayasugi into your multiples.
Look, the default for me, because I'm biased and it's like having a football team to back for, is to always go with the Moody runner. But I just thought there was a lot of merit in that last start run and Moody's will obviously go into it deeper. But second to Coleman, who's come up favourite, she got too far back. No horse made ground that day. She worked home really well. Things will play out differently here in a bigger field. It'll be a higher pressure race on Saturday, but it looks an ideal draw. Again, Moods will give his thoughts on that. This is going to be a class race moving forward, I believe. But I'm with Anisa because I thought there was a bit more. I thought she was. There was a really good run she had in the Chairman's, and I think we'll see the best of her on Saturday. And Moody on the mic will become a Blue Diamond winning podcast.
It's a bloody good race, isn't it? And plenty of form lines crashing together here. And I tell you what, you're getting great value about. Talking from a Rosemont point of view, and everyone will be like, "Why don't the bloke shut up?" But we do have a runner in it, and there is no way she deserves to be 100 to 1 in the Ladbrokes market. She's had one start for a win. She beat the Colts, albeit, you know, Wednesday grade two-year-old, but that was always the plan. We felt she was actually up to running in the prelude, the preludes and the previews, but took the low road thinking, well, hopefully she can win enough prize money at Sandown on a Wednesday to get into the race. We were nearly gazumped. We just got in, got the last spot in the race. She's not the stupidest 100 to 1 shot that you could have a dollar each way on. But if you want my tip, I'm with you, Roger. I reckon the Coleman race, Anisa, you know, it's a good form race. I think Coleman is a rising star. All these Sydney Colts that everyone wants to blurt on about. I tell you what, Coleman will give them some curry when he gets up north deeper into his campaign. But I think he can win from the nice draw. Ben Malham up. I like Coleman and I'll have a saver on Anisa and I'll be having $5 each way on our own horse flyer.
Yeah, terrific race. A lot of different form lines to marry up here, isn't there? I think, Mitho, your form line with Flyer, it's going to be tested tomorrow evening at Pakenham, so that's going to give you a little probably guide to how your filly's going to measure up in slightly better grade and how that form plays out tomorrow, although it be in a Pakenham maiden. These maidens are basically the same as your average races at the moment outside of your group ones, obviously, like a Blue Diamond. Listen, for me, I'm very pleased with Anisa. She goes into the race in great order. She needs to find a couple of lengths, and I know she is open to that improvement as well. I suppose it comes down to how much a horse like Coleman does improve also. Off his very good win the other day, I'm not taking anything away from him. But personally, I think the one they've all got to beat is Bodyguard. I thought he played with his opposition in the Colts race last week. Drawn gate six, big race rider Mark Zahar on board. I think he's the one they've got to beat, the three Bodyguard. Great respect for Gay and Adrian in bringing down Lady of Camelot. They've just dominated the Sydney two-year-old scene. You know she's going to be in it for a long way. First time Caulfield. She's probably going to be in front at the 200. And she looks super in the Wooden Stakes. And I think she's going to be very hard to beat. So, but for me, seeing is believing. And I thought Bodyguard was unbelievably dominant. I think he's the one we have to beat. But there's not many in the race that would surprise you. So I'll go Bodyguard on top and include my filly Anisa for a multiple. I think all day from the good draw, if she can hold a spot in the first five or six and dash like we know she can on balancing, I think she'll give herself every chance. But Bodyguard, the one to beat the three.
Let's go now to one of my favourite races of the year, the Oakley Plate. And Rayman, it's not a vintage edition of the Oakley Plate, but give us the market and your thoughts.
It may not be a vintage edition, Rog, but still an outstanding betting race as it is every single year. The Oakley Plate, King's Gambit is the favourite, a three-year-old. He's at $4.20. As Fora on the second line of betting at $5.50. Good support early. The early market mover with Ladbrokes is Sharippa, who's into $9. They got Benedetta there at $10. King's Gambit is a horse that really does intrigue me because he's always had a huge amount of potential. And his last start win before he was sent to the paddock in the spring was in a really impressive victory in the Roman Consul Stakes. And that form stacked up in a big way because he beat Osmosis that day, who then went on to win the Coolmore Stud Stakes. So he's I think in this field, we sort of know the level of a lot of these sprinters. While King's Gambit is the horse I do think has the upside to go to another level. So he is the favourite at $4.20, but I definitely want to have something else, something on him. And the other horse I want to have something on at a big price is one of our favourites on the podcast, and that is Chain of Lightning, who's $26 to win, $6.50 the place. We know she loves Caulfield, 3 from 6 at the venue. We know she goes really well first up, has not missed a placing first up, and 2 wins from the 4 starts. So I think this is the right sort of Group 1 race for her. And I think at those knockout odds, I want to have something on our old favourite Chain of Lightning.
She hasn't got a jockey nominated yet, Moods. Is she definitely going to run Chain of Lightning?
Carlene Heffel engaged to ride. Linda Meach did have the ride, but unfortunately got suspended. So Carlene Heffel steps into the breach there. I tell you what, it's quite amazing. And we've had a lot of luck with Carlene, but you look at jockey options when you get to 53.5 and they thin out very, very quickly when you've committed to one and the others all take a ride. And not even many of our, in the old days, the apprentices used to all fill in the lightweights, but 53.5, you'd think you'd get 3/4 of the jockey's room. Now you get about five riders.
What's the thinking first up here, Merge? And Rayman, you might be able to chime in here. There's a few first up. What's the record of horses winning the Oakley Plate first up?
Listen, from my perspective, my horse has a very good first up record. Runs fresh well, runs at the track well. Has she got the class to win an Oakley Plate? I would have doubted it. But in saying that, she's one of 5 horses in this race that has rated above 100. So if she's ever going to knock off one of these good sprints first up, that's why we're having a look at the race and a throw at the stumps here. You know, when the majority of the field are rated below 100. So, you know, that's hence the reason she's taking a place. We were going to look at a softer option later next week, but decided, well, if that's the case for a Group 1, we'll have a shot.
Look, I'm not going to completely rule out Asfura, but I thought she was a little bit disappointing last start. Maybe she's slightly below Group 1 level, but as I mentioned, this is, you know, I'm not saying she can't win, and this isn't a vintage edition of the race. I'm siding with you, Rayman. I thought King's Gambit shown in limited starts, you know, absolute quality horse, very short spring, just 2 starts, but won that Group 2 Roman Consul as 1200, second up in impressive style. He looks thrown in here at 50 kilos, and Jamie Carr in the saddle. Yeah, I think $4, King's Gambit, I'll be having something on that.
It's a great race. It's a fun race, isn't it? Because it does bring together, it gives horses that perhaps aren't the rolled gold rock star Group 1s a bit of a chance out of Group 1. Because of the weight.
Brooklyn Hustle?
What's that?
Do we still remember Brooklyn Hustle's effort in there? in the Oakley Plate a few years.
She should have won by a lap, Rod. She should have won by a lap.
Well, I was just actually, was just trying to look it up, Rayman. Was she? I reckon she was first up, wasn't she?
She was first up. Yeah. She ran fourth. No luck in running. She gets out 50 metres clearer. She wins in a canter. It's a good thing lift.
Yeah. So, and that was Dean Lester's plan all the way. He planned that whole thing. He said, make sure you'll get a low weight. You'll be first up. She's a bomb fresh. And the reason I asked that question, I was just trying to remind myself. I reckon Dino's theory was that it's a good fresh horses race. So for that reason, 50 kilos, King's Gambit gets his chance to win a Group One. And he's a quirky horse. He's a bit of a hot horse. He's going to have to go in the barriers nice and early out of barrier one and going to have to contend with that. And first up fresh scares the hell out of me. So I'll be halving my bet if I have one at all. But for want of a tip, irresistible combination, the Jamie Carr, 50 kilos, speed horse, fast horse, has won fresh before. So King's Gambit for a tip.
Yeah, no, it is going to test his mettle, isn't it, Anthony? Like you said, he's going to be in the gates a good while. He's going to need more luck than the first explorers from gate one. You would see him probably two or three pairs back the fence, and he's going to need a bit of luck. I tell you what, Shane and Cassie Oxlade from South Australia, don't they need a rap for what they've achieved in the last couple of months with their horses, Shuripper and the other horse just escapes me at the moment, Q-Men. Down the bottom there, both in great form, and I'm sure they'll give the South Aussies a great sight. It's a hard race again. You're going to see probably three lengths, first to 10th here and something unlucky out the back. So my mare, Chain of Lightning, like I said, she's a Group 2 winner, hence the reason we were having to throw at the stumps in a Group 1. Listen, she may be outclassed, but a record fresh and at the track suggests that we need to have a throw at the stump. So she's drawn to probably get a good run midfield wide and hopefully be unimpeded. The speed's going to be on. It's going to be an absolute cracker. And that's where, if they do open up and they get a bit tired, King's Gambit might be able to pinch a gap. A filly like Benedetta, probably a little bit in the Chain of Lightning sort of category, striving to win a Group 1. Only one Group 1 winner in this race this year is Skew If, the New Zealand mare. Is she going to be sharp enough at 1,100 metres? A bit of a question mark there. And Ash Vora, her record at the track and trip, even though her first up run against maybe a distinctive bias that day, I don't think you can rule her out as being the highest rated horse in the race as well. So, listen, I know it's three shows back into the autumn team, but I'm not going to pot anyone for having a tip in this race. I'm throwing a pineapple at you and Chain of Lightning each way, hopefully for myself. As a record suggests, you might be able to, but luck plays a massive part. I'll enjoy sitting back and watching it, and I'll be watching the grey mare Chain of Lightning will have my biggest interest in the race.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, Yard Comment and Black Book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Best bets time. Moody on the mic while we're going to kick it off with Rayman's Kiwi Corner. You're off across the Tasman yet again, Rayman.
I am focusing on New Zealand for Ataki Maori Classic Day on Saturday. The feature race is the Group 1. You've got a lot of really well-credentialed horses and horses we've seen in Australia before, like Egan, Ladies Man, who came over for the spring, La Creek. But I think the horse to beat, and this horse has been a bit of a revelation, this preparation, is Desert Lightning. Has recorded three wins from four race starts this preparation. Won the Group 1 Classic at Trentnum. And then last start on Cracker Millions Day, beat Legato, the boom mare who won the Australian Guineas last year, in really impressive fashion. So we're hoping we'll see Desert Lightning in Australia for the All-Star Mile. And I think he'll be winning this Group 1 race on Saturday on the way through. So that's race 7, number 1, Desert Lightning.
I am with Revolutionary Miss, who got the job done last weekend when that was three wins from her last four starts. The only miss was a third ninth Samana in the Magic Millions Cup. That form was franked last week, not only with Revolutionary Miss, but Samana also won again, my best bet. Vagrant and Shuffle Dancer are the dangers, but a mare in form and a winner as well, around $4. She is a bet for mine. So that is Revolutionary Miss, which is in the last of Corford, race 10, number one for the Snowdens, who have got a very strong hand at the Heath on Saturday. They could have a dead set day out. Mitho.
I'll go to Caulfield. Moods can elaborate, but race 4, the Zetative Stakes, first up, Legacies. She had an indifferent spring, to be fair. Probably didn't live up to our expectations, but she just never came right. She never came right. The coach, she was just didn't. It was as though she didn't want to be there, Moods, and he can elaborate on that. But she looks a picture of health in the autumn, and there are that just want to be autumn horses, or they want to be spring horses, and you throw the other season at them, and they'll throw you the great big pineapple up the backside. So I reckon she's an autumn horse. Have a dollar away on my old favourite Glitter and Gold too in the Tawny Cup on Friday night at $21 for Lindsay Smith, who won the Collar Cup for us a couple of weeks ago. Have a loyalty bet. For anyone that followed us in there at Collar, have something on good old Glitter and Gold.
Righto. Well, a few runners for the Boutique Stable this weekend, actually. And we kick off in race 2, horse number... Well, we've got actually 3 in the race, but Foxicon will take her place Friday night, where I think she can run very competitive. The 4, Nunthorpe, will take her place in a stakes race in Adelaide on Saturday, so they'll both be withdrawn. And the 10, Brereton, will be withdrawn Friday night at Moonee Valley to take on this slightly harder race, but from a better draw. And I thought he was super first up, although running 6th at Moonee Valley in an unsuitable 9.55. So I think he's an excellent each-way chance in race 2. Across to the Armanasco, we've got our very good filly Autumn Angel resuming in the this race. She's drawn gate 4, probably a little bit akin to Molly Nickers last weekend. I think she can win the race, but... she will improve with the run, and if it's run as brutal as the Molly Nickers race last week, she might just be found out condition-wise. If it's run a bit softer and she can hold a position midfield, I think she'll give you a hell of a sight, Autumn Angel, in the third. Across to the Zetative, and Mitho is very kind there. He's not one to pot jockeys. He takes everything on his chin, and no one has bad luck. But let's be honest, Jamie Carr barbecued Legacies on more than one occasion last preparation, hence the filly didn't come up. But Mitho wouldn't allow himself to say that. He'll pot the shit out of all other jockeys except for Jamie. And I hope after she rode her brilliantly first up, then barbecued her twice post that, and we blame the horse, not the jockey. And in any other case, we blame the jockey, not the horse. She is in great form, this mare, Legacies. I think if she can repeat a first up run of the spring where she ran second to V8, V8 would probably be a short price favourite, and this on his Australia Stakes run and his All Stakes run. So it probably just comes down to a horse like Brave Mead. If he gets it too soft up near the speed and a few others, it's a good race. She's the lone filly in it, but I think from a soft draw midfield, if she can sort of sit 2 or 3 lengths off them, she'll present as the winner at some stage and run very well. Then we skip across all the way to the Blue Diamond. We'll touch on Anisa. She goes there in great order. Plain and simple, she's just got to be good enough. And it is a high-quality race. Likewise, again, in the Oakley Plate, Chain of Lightning. She's chasing that elusive Group 1 on a resume. Is she good enough? Arguable. But I think she can still run extremely well. And then we round it out in the Mannerism Stakes, where Roger's best bet, Revolutionary Miss, narrowly beat Forbidden City last start at Flemington. And you might recall, got a dream run. Both fillies backing up here. I think Forbidden City might get a better run than Revolutionary Miss this week and might get the opportunity to turn the tables. And her younger full sister, Shuffle Dancer, resumes in the same race. She's in great order. She's a quality mare, group-winning mare, and I think she can give a great sight as well. But probably they all have to beat Vagrant, who's in great form with D-Lane on board from One Alley. But I think Forbidden City gets a chance to get a bit more black type on a resume. My best for the weekend... listen, bloody hard from where I sit. I think I've got a great multitude of each-way chances. Follow the team each way all day. But I've probably got a plump for Legacies in the Zetative Stakes as the best runner from the camp this weekend. Race 4, number 11, I think she'll give you a very good sight. So each way all day, the team. Oakley Plate Day, we saw the fast horses in the Lightning last week. They didn't use their speed until the last... 300 metres when we saw Private Eye and Imperatrice dominate. But I tell you what, I reckon it'll be handlebars down and flat to the boards in the Oakley Plate, one of the great Australian handicap sprints. Good luck, good punting. let fast horses run fast.
Ladbroke it.